Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, it's a nice Saturday morning, a little brisk, but at least there's no rain out there. And as always is the case, all the time on WIP, there's so many things to dig into and talk about, things and all kinds of interesting stuff. All right. The Eagles are always a major topic. I know the Phillies are in spring training, and there's some major news. It's actually major news that came out of the Phillies yesterday, and we'll get to that shortly. But it's always the Eagles that is at the top. It's almost always at the top of the list, whether they're playing or not playing. I know the Combine was this week. Combine is, for fans, I think it's a waste of time. And it's just, it's TV content for the NFL network to watch guys run 40s and all kinds of other drills that they do. A lot of the players don't work out anymore. But really the only thing that is interesting is all the coaches and the general managers speak at the combine, and we get that on social media. So it's just, and I don't know that Howie Roseman or Nick Sirianni said anything of groundbreaking, newsworthy stuff. He talked about the coordinators he hired, and you know, what went into that, and what went behind that. But we knew Brian Johnson was going to be the offensive coordinator, and Sean Desai, we didn't know until maybe the last 24 to 48 hours, but they went through a thorough process. But I don't know that that's news, because we don't know enough about how it will work out until we actually see, maybe in camp, but more so during the season. But there's so many other big things that have happened in the last week that really need to be discussed. And I will always say, whenever somebody makes a mistake, the best thing, and people accept it, they accept it more than not saying it, is own your mistake. You've got to own it. And it's kind of an interesting dynamic. Darius Slay, who now is a star with his podcast, or he thinks he's a star with his podcast, just go out there and play and give the team the best you can, and maybe be better than you were the second half of the season. And, you know, you got to look at all those things. But he went off and made a comment that he thought the Eagles and their defense wasn't bad the second half. So it's either one way or the other. Either the coach is an idiot, Jonathan Gannon, which he's not. He was a very good defensive coordinator for the Eagles. I don't know how good a head coach he will be, but that he doesn't have a quarterback that I think he can count on. But whatever the case, you know, he talked about, you know, how well they played defensively with the numbers and what they did during the season and how they were the number one secondary and wherever he gets all these things. That's all well and good. But here's where the problem arises. He does not account for or doesn't own up and own the mistake he made. He lost the receiver in motion because he took his eyes off him, and the receiver then just, you know, just went in motion the other way, and he lost him, and he was wide open for the touchdown. If you're going to talk about how well the defense played in the second half, and Mahomes didn't have much yards, Kelce didn't have many yards, and I get it. And the defense only gave up 24 points in the Super Bowl. And we still, people just, a lot of people still can't get over that. But when a player comes out and talks about how well they played, and they weren't bad, but they made mistakes that cost them the game. And it wasn't just the defensive errors, obviously the fumble, the punt, the return, all those things. But here's what's interesting about what Darius Slay said. You know what? Let me play Darius Slay, and then I'm going to, you know, address what should have been addressed, but players don't take accountability. And it's everybody has to take accountability, whether it's the coach, who, by the way, he did take accountability when he spoke at the combine. You know, it starts with him, and I know they always say that, but it does. And Jonathan Gannon told me the mistake that he felt he made on a play call a Sunday night after the game. And I know he didn't speak, but the coordinators are not required to speak. But let's hear what Darius Slay has to say. And he just did this his podcast this week, and this is where it came out.
Come on, Juju. I'm trolling, man. And it rubbed me the wrong way, since y'all be wanting out here clown and stuff, all pro JB. One of the best in the game. Did what he did. Of course, he got a holding call. Guys, push off every play. Now, let's be honest. Like, Mahomes a dog out there, and him and Travis had a crazy connection. Other than that, it was lights, camera, action out there for us. It was a great, great game. We just had a hard time with caps. We did feel like our DBs was way better, and that's what happened on the field. Y'all think they threw for like, what, 180 yards? Yeah, we won the number one pass defense for a reason. And, you know, to come out like that, talking crazy, you need to fix that. That ain't called for, man. Y'all be taking it to a whole new level right now, man. Y'all new generation, a little weird. What Juju need to be doing is really just be worrying about his little TikTok dances and keep it going and stop trying to play like that, man. You better play like that on TikTok. That's what we got apps for, dancing apps that y'all be on, man. Stop playing with my dog. Come on, Juju.
All right, so he's criticizing Juju Schuster for his social media posts. And, you know, he went over the top when he did go over the top, but they all go over the top. Slay goes over the top, too. They all go over the top. All right, so, but the point, the thing that you take out of it is how well they played. What did he say? They were having a field day. I don't know if it was a field day. Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes, and he's the best quarterback in football, and I think we recognize that in the Super Bowl. But when you talk about, you've got to own the mistake that you made. And the mistake you made is you lost coverage on the receiver that was wide open for the touchdown because you took your eyes off him and you're worried about pointing another player, whatever it was. You got to own that. But here's the thing. When you talk about how well you played, and earlier that week, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, which he pulled down his tweet, blamed the defensive coordinator for basically not putting them in the right position. You got to address that. It's got to be one way or the other. What is it? Did he not put you in the right position, or did you have a field day? And neither one of them. They weren't bad, but when they had to make stops, they didn't. But it was really one. One good drive, and then the last drive, which they didn't stop him, which they needed to stop him. They needed to stop him on the last drive before they kicked the field goal. And there was another mistake. There were mistakes in the game, and I've already addressed those. And calling a timeout early in the third quarter when it was unnecessary because the offense wasn't ready to run a play, that was bad. You would have had 50-some seconds left. But the reality is you can't have one player on defense, your teammate, blame the defensive coordinator, which is what he did. You can't have one teammate blame the defensive coordinator, and then all of a sudden you had a field day and everything was great. And you've got to address and own your problem. You've got to own your problem. You know, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, you ain't put us in position to make plays. He put that tweet out there, and then he deleted it. Well, and talking about Jonathan Gannon. Well, it's one way or it's the other. It's one or the other. So you've got to address the whole situation. So we'll talk about that. You know, it just, what is it? I mean, what is it? You know, when you do a podcast, you don't have to address the questions. So that's a question that I would ask him. It's like, okay, you played well, but don't you have to own that play where you made a mistake? And don't you have to really address C.J. Gardner-Johnson, say that the coach didn't put them in good position to make plays, yet you're talking about how well the defense played the second half? Those are the kind of things that in today's world is different with players. The Eagles lost the Super Bowl. It wasn't a good time for any of us. None of us were happy with that. They made too many mistakes. So you've got to accept wins as a team, and which they do, and that's easy. And you've got to accept losses as a team, which apparently some of the guys don't. But, you know, some of the things that happened. All right, so Darius Slay made a mistake on that touchdown where the player was open. Jonathan Gannon admitted, at least to me, and I'm sure he would admit it to the media if you asked him the question, he feels that he made a bad play call on the blitz, the zero blitz on the other touchdown, which was like, if I guess, 5 yards or whatever it was, on the other touchdown. But then the linebacker or the defensive end, I was told by a player, really has responsibility there, and they didn't do their job on that play. So, yeah, everybody shares in the mistake. There's always something that's supposed to happen, but everybody shares in the mistake. And in today's world, between Twitter and social media and Instagram and all this other, you got to accept it. It's not easy, but you've got to accept it. There's a reason that the Eagles lost the Super Bowl. Now, the other team was good. I think the Eagles were better. The other team had the best head coach in football, have the best quarterback in football. The Eagles could still have won the game if they didn't make mistakes. All right, so we'll discuss that today. The 76ers and Joel Embiid. I wonder, and I always have questions, when he had foot soreness or whatever excuse he made in the second Miami game. You're always going to split those games. So the fact that they won without him, I'm not surprised with. I liked the Sixers the other night in that game, whether Embiid played or not. Because defensively, they did a good job on him on Monday night when they played the first game. And I don't think he wanted to play that game, and knew in a back-to-back he wouldn't play both. And he wanted to play against Dallas because he knew defensively they weren't as good. I think Joel Embiid knows he can't win the MVP. And he's not the MVP. I mean, let's be honest. He's not the MVP. There's probably at least two, maybe three guys ahead of him in who should be the MVP this year. And there's one that's really obvious, and we'll get into that too. But he wants to win the scoring title. And he knew he'd score more points against Dallas than he would against Miami, and he wasn't going to play both those games. I just wonder if he's there all the time for the team. Is he a leader? And I keep on questioning that. Can they win a championship with him? It's always going to be the question. Is he a leader? And I don't think he's a leader. And you need a leader to win a championship. And he is not that guy. Now, our question today is based on an idiot, a dope, and a moron. And the idiot, the dope, and the moron and he's all three wrapped up in one, is Kendrick Perkins. Now, our question to win the $100 gift certificate from DeBruno Brothers, it's a different way to look at it. And if you want to throw somebody in that you like, I might even include that, but here it is. Athletes, whether ex or current, that are on the air that you just can't stand. and obviously WIP's, and there's nobody at WIP that you could choose, so we're taking that out of the equation here. But, you know, from a national level or other places which you hear nationally, athletes that you just can't stand, that you think are idiots, dopes, or morons, or every one of the above. And Kendrick Perkins fits that bill. So I've already taken him out of it. And I'm going to play a soundbite from him, which is disgraceful. And I can't believe he's still on the air with ESPN. First of all, he's an idiot. The fact that they put him on the air is disgraceful. But ESPN puts a lot of people on the air that are idiots. You know, I'll even include coaches, because there's coaches that are on from a national level as well. So to win a $100 gift certificate from DeBruno Brothers, where you can check everything that's great at DeBruno Brothers, either by going in any one of their 7 retail locations or checking them out online at DeBruno.com or DeBrunoCatering.com, you can check it all out. So that's the question. Before we take a break, I am going to go to the phones first. And up first is Rich. Rich, you're on WIP. Rich?
Okay. Yes. I think so far the Sixers don't look like they have much future after this particular year. And even with this year, I don't know. I mean, Embiid has flashes, okay? Maxi has a future. Harris is like, well, I don't know. And I don't know what their future is, Howard.
Okay, so here's the deal.
Yes.
You don't know what it is, so you do know what it is, because do you believe the Sixers can win a championship, which everybody was all pumped up when they were playing all those home games and beating bad teams? But now you question it. Do you think the Sixers can win a championship?
The answer is no.
No, and that's the answer. I think that's an obvious answer. I mean, some people just hope they get to the conference finals, but then they're, as it stands right now, are going to have to go through Boston or Milwaukee to get to the conference finals. And I don't know that they can do that. And it wouldn't shock me. I don't know who they would play in the first round. And if they play, the Knicks are playing great. The Knicks have won like 8 in a row. I think they would beat the Knicks, but it wouldn't surprise me if they lost to the Knicks in the first round. That would be a complete disaster. So what is it that you think is wrong with the Sixers?
I think the problem with that team is, I mean, Embiid seems to me that he plays when he wants to play, and I'm not quite sure if he's all in on a team concept.
Well, I wouldn't play him the way he does, but he does what he wants to do. He's got to be down low. He doesn't get enough rebounds. And for a guy that's 7'2", he doesn't get enough rebounds. We know he's not a – he doesn't handle the ball well. He turns the ball over. We know that. He's not a passer. But it's just I think he wants – he knows he's not going to win the MVP. I think he wants to win the scoring title. You know, when you're up by 15 to 20 points late in the game, you should be sitting down. But he still plays his 30-some minutes, and I believe it's so he can score all those points. So, but whatever. I know I just asked the question, but do you have a athlete, current or former, that's on the air doing sports that you just can't stand?
Michael Irvin.
Michael Irvin's probably not bad. All right, Rich, I'm going to put you in the mix with Michael Irvin. And say hello to all the people in West Hazleton. All right? Take care. Have a great day. Michael Irvin is good. The other thing, another thing we have to talk about, there's two things we have. Free agency won't be opening up to team signing players, but you've got to franchise. If you're going to franchise a player, and it'll be interesting to see what the Eagles do. They don't like to do that, but I think they really should do. C.J. Gardner-Johnson's a good player. He's a little goofy sometimes, but he's a good player. If they're going to franchise anybody, I would think that would be the guy. But we can talk about free agency and what you think the Eagles want, what you think the Eagles need. We can discuss that as well. All right, let me give you the numbers. You have them already, but I'll give it to you anyway. 215-592-9494. And when we come back, I will address the Kendrick Perkins idiocy, because he is a stone-cold dope. I mean, it's that simple. A stone-cold dope. We'll address that when we come back. The time now is now 8:21. Oh, another fine day. So many things to talk about. We'll get to the Phillies, the injury issue that popped up yesterday. We'll get to that because that's a little. It's more than a little bit of concern. The free agents. I still don't know why people just continue to blame Jonathan Gannon for the Eagles' loss. The players have to be accountable. There's another issue that really hasn't come up, which I mentioned the other night, and the Eagles caused their own problems with the field. You know, they want to blame the guy from Kansas City who was a groundskeeper, but the Eagles' groundskeeper was involved in that field too. They were both there. And I'm not going to blame either one of them. It's a bad field. They brought in a new field. It wasn't even the field that Arizona plays on, because that's a sand base. This was a dirt base, and it got whatever. We'll get into that in a little while. All right. The question today for the $100 gift certificate, based on Kendrick Perkins, who's a stone cold idiot, the athlete on the air that you dislike the most, and he would be an easy one, but I'm not going to make it that easy. But before we get to that, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to John. John, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, Howard. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
I just want to comment a little bit on Gardner Johnson and A.J. Brown and Big Play Slay, as far as like the social media comments. And, you know, these guys have all been around a little bit. I mean, you know, Gardner Johnson and Brown are a little bit younger, but you know, they should know that there's nothing positive that's going to come out. And for Gardner Johnson to say that, you know, Gannon didn't put us in a position, well, you didn't make any deflections. You didn't make any interceptions. I mean, you know, it's easy on social media to kick a guy when he's down. And as far as Slay, like,
But then Slay contradicts him by saying that they played great, that the secondary played great defensively. So what is it? And
no,
Darius
absolutely.
Slay, if he's going to address Juju Schuster, he should address C.J. Gardner-Johnson, but you can't piss off a teammate. I mean, you got to have it both ways, and you've got to own what you've done. Hey, Patrick Mahomes didn't throw for a lot of yards. Kelce in the second half didn't get a lot of yards receiving. I get that. But there's a couple of mistakes that they made, and it's not all the defense's fault, and it's not all Jonathan Gannon's fault, but you've got to share in the mistakes, or accept whatever it is you have to accept as a team. And that's why the Eagles got as far as they did. They did things as a team.
No, absolutely. You just said it.
Yeah.
You just said it, Howard. I mean, you got to accept responsibility when you lose, and you take all the credit when you win. And I mean, it seems to me like Slay a little bit was doing the finger pointing type thing. And, now, when you wear that C on your chest, that's really not how a captain's supposed to act. I mean, you're supposed to be teaching the younger kids what not to do, not teaching them what to do. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't understand this guy. It's like, you know, he's talking like he made three interceptions and saved the game. Well, you know what? You're one of the main reasons we lost, because you missed an assignment.
Well,
so you don't bring that up, though.
It's not a main reason. I mean, the fumble, the penalty before the fumble, the punt return. The timeout, and I haven't gotten that because I haven't had a chance to talk to people early in the third quarter after a review. So you should have had plenty of time for the offense to get ready and call a play, and they weren't ready to run the play, and they had to call a timeout. That, to me, is a big – that timeout, if not called, could have given them 50-some seconds at the end of the game rather than, what, 11 seconds. So there's a lot of things that happen. You can't make mistakes in a Super Bowl, and that's going to kill you. And Kansas City didn't make any mistakes, and the Eagles did. And that's where it comes. And it's, you know, it's hard to accept because it's so hard to get to a Super Bowl. It is so difficult, and that's part of it. All right, who is the athlete that you probably dislike, that you dislike the most that's on the air?
Well, I loved him the first year he was on, and then he's really, really went downhill because he doesn't do his homework, and it's Tony Romo.
Yeah, Tony Romo is an easy one. He has really gotten lazy and sloppy. And, yeah, I'm not you don't like him because he's a Dallas guy, but you kind of accepted that because his first year he was good. But, all right, John, you're in the mix. All right? And thanks for the call. Let's go to Jerry. Jerry, you're on WIP. What's up?
Howard, how you doing, buddy? It's been a long time since I talked to you, but you need to hear one of these.
Are you actually out working and driving, yep, or did you just go into the truck to blow the horn?
No, I'm actually up here outside of Hershey, Pennsylvania. I am sitting at a distribution center while they're unloading me. They've been unloading me for going on 2 hours. I have like about a million carts of egg cartons. I'm at a chicken farm up here, and they're unloading my tractor trailer. It was completely packed full of
egg cartons. Well, I can understand why it would take a long time to unload egg cartons, because there's a lot of eggs.
And they weren't even on pallets when I looked at them. When I opened the doors, I had no idea what I was even hauling until I opened the door. And I have paperwork, but it doesn't say exactly what. It just gives me a weight and how many things is on here, or what have you.
You got plenty of time to talk, and I see you wanted to talk about the Phillies.
Yeah, I can't wait till the Phillies start really playing ball. I am so excited to see what Trey Turner is going to do, because he's going to make a big difference in our lineup, in our infield. He's probably going to be our only lifetime 300 hitter on our team that we've had in I don't know how many years. But I'm really excited about this year starting out with Topper being the manager to start the full year, and to see what they can do with the start of the season compared to last year's start.
Well, we know what Trey Turner is going to do, and he's got to lead off when Harper's back, without Harper. I mean, the fact that there was any kind of debate on who was going to be the leadoff hitter, it's 100% it's got to be Trey Turner. And when I had Rob Thompson on with me last week from Clearwater on the show, he's the leadoff hitter now. And when Harper comes back, I asked him about that, and I think he was locked in that he's going to be the leadoff hitter then. Now, what'll change in that lineup is the number two hitter, because Trey Turner will lead off. Right now, Schwarber almost certainly will hit second. But when Harper comes back, I think Harper's the one that's going to hit second. And then you probably move Schwarber down to four. And whether he likes it or not, he's going to hit four. And he's got to do what's best for the team. But whatever. I have my ideas for a lineup.
One more question. What's your opinion now that we see our phenom, 19-year-old, it has a elbow soreness? What do you think? What's your assessment of that?
Well, he's young. He's probably tried to do a little bit too much to impress people early, and that's they don't throw many innings, but still, when you throw that hard,
right?
So you just hope that he was supposed to have tests yesterday. I don't know if they sent him. They sent him out for tests. I don't know if they sent him back to Philadelphia, and they could have to get the test to make sure that the test that they have confidence in, not that you can't do MRIs down in.
Well, that's what I was wondering. That's like the biggest thing to do on something like that, isn't it? MRI?
Well, yeah, that's what they're probably, I'm sure that's what they're going to do. They're going to take every kind of test. They want to make sure that there's, that it's not just inflammation from throwing and trying to impress a lot, but
right.
I don't think that changes how well they're going to play this year. But Rob Thompson, he indicated when I had him on that he was coming, basically was coming north because even though he could have been the fifth starter and you have days off, he was going to give the other starters some days, extra day, and put Painter in there. Painter was going to come north unless he completely fell apart in spring training. And I think it's tough for a 19-year-old to make sure that you're doing everything right to keep yourself healthy. But if it's not a serious injury, and they'll probably shut him down for a while, and it would probably indicate that he's not going to come north with the team. But that's okay.
I can't see them not bringing him north. I mean, he just got too much.
You can't bring him north. I mean, you bring him north, but he's not gonna be on the roster. He's not gonna be
right. Right. I understand that because I was like, man, this we haven't
right,
had
so,
a.
Right,
a
so here's the deal. Here's the deal.
Okay. All right.
Your player. I want to ask you the athlete on the air that you dislike the most.
Well, I can't win anything because I won not too long ago at Angelo's show. But the guy took my thunder with Romo, I've been spinning my wheels, and I can't honestly think of anybody.
I can think of plenty of others, but if you've
I do have one person in mind though, because I don't like this guy. I never liked him. He was the coach. I guess he was the last coach of the Dallas Cowboys. He used to be a quarterback years ago. Jason Garrett.
Yeah, that's who it was. Okay, but I appreciate it. All right, get those egg carts unloaded, will you? All right, take care of that. All right, thanks, Jerry. All right, the idiot of all idiots is Kendrick Perkins. And he made a comment the other day, and J.J. Redick challenged him, and he should have challenged him, because he doesn't think Jokic should be the MVP. But he tied in something which is actually something that ESPN should deal with, because you know the direction he's going. All right, Kendrick Perkins on why he thinks certain players won the MVP. Here we go. You know what? He threw Steve Nash in there in his comments, and I tweeted out his comments. He threw Steve Nash in there for winning the second MVP, and they were sixth in the league. You know, just to address what he really is saying, and we know where he's coming from, and, you know, I'm not going to get into it because it would create issues. Did he forget Russell Westbrook? And Russell Westbrook fits into what he's talking about, where he's playing for a team that's not a number one seed. Russell Westbrook in... was it 16-17 that season, was the MVP with Oklahoma City. They were 20 games out of first place, in fifth place in the West. And he was a stat builder. And the one thing that Jokic doesn't do, he doesn't care about his points scored. He cares about winning. The best passing center maybe in the history of the NBA. It's unbelievable. But there's other players that that build up stats. And Russell Westbrook was one of those that build up stats. I don't care whether you're not in the top 10. Are you the most valuable to the team? And because he thinks Joel Embiid should be the MVP. Here is my list of the top three MVPs. Jokic, Giannis, Luka... Luka Doncic, if you really want to... I mean, without him, think how bad Dallas would be. Tatum, I would even put Tatum higher because he's so important to that team. It's not about scoring, because Embiid can stay out there and score all night if he wants. That's not what it is. Is he the most valuable player? But when he tied in, let's be honest, he tied in three guys that are white. And he complained about them winning the MVP because he had Nash in there as well. I mean, he is an idiot, a moron, and a dope. All right, we'll be back. We'll get back to the calls. You can address that. 215-592-9494. Time now is 8:40.
Somebody got a problem with hope. What's up, y'all? Need to get all fed up because I got a little chatter in my ring.
It's wonderful. What a way to kind of get the ball, keep the morning rolling. And I have a question before you get back to the phones. I just heard Pete do his commercial for his fine establishments, Chickies and Pete's. And he rolls out, here's a place where you get seafood, crab fries, and, you know, outside of that, it's just, you can just get a whole bunch of different things. I get it. Pizza if you want it. Yeah, I get it. But then he rolls out Guinness braised onions. What the hell are Guinness braised onions? Now, can you put them on crab fries? Can you dip them in the cheese that you actually cost you, what, a couple of bucks to get with the crab fries? What are Guinness? I know what onions are. What are Guinness braised onions? Pete trying to impress us with all this food knowledge. What the hell are Guinness braised onions? Am I going to Chickies and Pete's for Guinness braised onions? No. That's not Guinness braised onions. Next time I go there, I got to get some Guinness braised onions. I guess they're on some. I don't know what they're on, but I have no idea what they are. No idea what a Guinness braised onion is. When I heard it, I'm saying, I actually listened to the commercials, which, you know, the advertisers hope that people listen to the commercials, and I do. Guinness braised onions. Okay. Somebody knows what it is. It's beyond me. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Ed. Ed, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard. How are you?
I'm great. Never had a bad day in my life.
Okay, so now that the Phillies have a genuine leadoff hitter, I have a lineup adjustment to see what you think.
Go ahead.
Okay, and don't get me wrong. I think Kyle Schwarber's great. I think he's the reason they made it to the World Series for his presence in the clubhouse and whatnot. But for him to bat second behind Turner, I just think he strikes out too much. You're going to leave Trey Turner on base a whole lot, I think. My idea was since Alec Bohm had that season that he had last year, what about Alec Bohm batting second? Nope. And hopefully Castellanos is going to break out of his thing, whatever that was about last year, and bat him third.
Absolutely. That lineup sucks. I'm being honest with you. I
mean, okay.
I'm not trying to kill you here, Ed, but here's what I'll tell you. Why you want a left-handed hitter hitting number two. And okay. I'm okay with that. They outlawed the shift, which I don't agree with. The only rule that I agree with, the rule change, is the pitch clock. I'm fine with that. I think that's a good rule. But the rest of the rules, you know, I'm not big on. But remember when they, okay, so they make the shift illegal. If Trey Turner's on first, it opens up the hole even more without a shift on the right side. So you want a left-handed hitter hitting number two.
Yeah.
All right?
I get it. Okay. I get it.
Everybody in that lineup strikes out. So let's put that to rest. And you gotta have a left-handed hitter there. So when Harper comes back, he'll hit number two.
Oh, absolutely. Right? I mean, that goes without saying. I'm just was like for the first part of the season or whatnot. But now you're right.
So now three. Based on this lefty-righty nonsense, which you can't split up everybody. I told Rob Thompson, and I gave him my lineup, I would hit Hoskins three, but I could have my mind changed by putting JT three and Hoskins five. So three, and remember, you have a DH now, and who's the DH? With Harper not there, I think Derek Hall is the DH against right-handers. I would hit him four. So whether it's Hoskins or JT three or five, so that person's five. I'd put Bohm six, and then I'd put Castellanos has got to earn his way back up in the lineup. He's got to earn his way back up in the lineup. So I would put him seven until he earns his way back up, and Rob Thompson thinks he's going to come back from last year, okay. And then eight, I would put Marsh. Nine, I'd put Stott because it's a way to turn over the lineup with your ninth hitter. You want a guy that can hit a little bit better than Marsh hitting nine to turn over the lineup for the top of the order. So your lineup is not very good.
Okay, I get it with the left-handed hitter. You're right. I completely forgot about the shift because he did a lot of...
Yep.
That's why I'm here for you.
That's why I'm here for you.
Okay. My guy for being an idiot is that ever-loving son of Buddy Ryan, Rex Ryan.
You know what? He is one that I have thought about. He is awful, awful on the air. Awful. Rex Ryan is a complete dope. That's why he wasn't a good head coach. ESPN has so many losers and dopes and morons, and Rex Ryan is one of them. That is a good one, but you know, Dan Wilson is our producer today. He's going to make the call, but I'll have some input in it. But that is a really good one, and I appreciate the call. All right, I got a text from a friend of mine, one of the fine owners at Audi Devon. And I didn't know what Guinness braised onions were. And he tells me it's big onion rings fried in oil with some Guinness ale. All right, so now, Jim, I'll out him. It's Jim Hanna. I'll out him. Now, he is a food guy. And if you look at him, you can tell why he's a food guy. I'm just saying. But why is it Guinness braised onions? Why don't you just say onion rings dipped in oil with Guinness ale? I mean, what's Guinness braised onions? What are they braised with? Are they braised? If you're deep frying them, it's a bad name for a food. So now I know what Guinness braised onions are. Thanks to my pal, Jim. All right, Jim. Thank you. Guinness braised onions. Give me a break. They're onion rings. Come on now. They're just onion rings. Why do we have to get complicated here? Let's go to Scott. Scott, you're on WIP.
Morning, Howard. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. While I've been on hold, just thinking about a few things about the Phillies, listening to you talk about it. Disappointed to hear that Painter's got a sore elbow, but, you know, when you're young and you throw this hard, you can expect at some point, you know, upper 90s guys usually run into arm trouble at some point. Hopefully it's not worst case scenario. He probably was a little amped up going against the big boys the other day, and hopefully it's just a minor tweak and a little time off. You know, you never know how MRIs go, though.
You never know how injuries go. I mean, it's just the MRI is going to tell you, for the most part, it kind of pulls out if there's a problem there. You just hope it's not nothing more than just you know, trying too hard and just irritation in the elbow. The elbow's not a good,
the kid has
it's not a good, has, it's not a good area to have an injury for a pitcher that throws.
No, it's really not, and it's very. I mean, it is a red flag, and it's alarming. The kid has so much upside potential. I mean, he's just glowing with it, Howard. I was going over just writing down. I mean, for me, I'm huge on defense, and that's been my biggest struggle with the Phillies, but I see they're improving it. I've mentioned before they've gotten much stronger up the middle. I also, I've mentioned this before on other shows, I see Sosa working his way into the lineup just about every day. I also see...
Where's he going to play?
He's going to play third base. And he's also going to...
I'm telling you, that's not going to happen. And the reason it's not going to happen is because they like Alec Bohm is at best an average defensive player. However, they like the way he has started to go more towards left center field last year and hitting the ball. He's not going to hit home runs, but he's become a contact hitter, which is, and Sosa's no different. But he obviously should be and is a better hitter than Sosa. But I think Sosa could be the other DH, the right-handed DH. And he will play, and then there'll be times that he plays at third base. They're going to maneuver. Even without Harper, there's so many different guys. For me,
Howard, I absolutely need to get Sosa's glove into the lineup. I also see that over time, I think Bohm is going to be shifted to first base. I think it's inevitable. He's average at best, at third. Go ahead.
You guys got to understand that I'm a baseball guy. I mean, Jack Fritz, who's another dope, who thinks he's a baseball guy. You need Hoskins in the lineup for his home runs.
He should be DHing, Howard.
What's that?
He should be DHing.
Yeah, but he's not going to DH every day. I mean,
he needs to be the right-handed DH at the minimum.
You think Alec Bohm's a gold glove guy? No.
Who said that? Alec Bohm is below average fielder, and if you put him over at first base, he might be average.
I'm sure Hoskins will DH it. They have 100 DHs on that team.
Yes, they do. That's the problem.
Okay. Well,
and we're going to improve it.
Now that you've expressed your baseball knowledge, who is the athlete on the air that you dislike?
Howard, before I mention that, don't be threatened when somebody else has an opinion. It's okay for people to disagree with you and still be able to express.
I'm not threatened at all. I have my opinion. You have your opinion. And I have fun with people that have different opinions. That's why this station is so successful, because none of us have the same opinions. So you're saying that I'm not threatened at all. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing this. I wouldn't express my opinion. A wonderful person in sports,
and you've been in sports for a long time, but you like to put down the person you're talking without really knowing the background.
And I'm telling you, the Phillies don't want Hoskins as a DH every day. So that's not going to happen. I'm telling you that right now. All right, I'll go to the guy that I don't like now.
I totally, please understand, as a player, I thought this guy was amazing. He was versatile, starter, reliever. But as an announcer, I absolutely cannot stand listening to John Smoltz. He overanalyzes everything to the point where it's you can't. I have to tune him out. I can't listen to it. It's too much
knowledge. Pitchers and catchers have better knowledge, I think, than anybody else. He has such great knowledge. Well, Scott, I'm not threatened, so don't feel that way. But I don't agree. I don't agree with you. But I'm not making the call. Okay, just to let you know, I'm not making the call. All right, I'm Howard Eskin. We're going to deal with all this when we come back. The time now is 8:57.
Get ready. Woo. Can I get an encore? Do you want more? Cooking raw with the Brooklyn boys. So for one last time, I need y'all to roar.
Fine Saturday. Saturday here on WIP. How about Jack Fritz sent me a text? He jumped in on the Guinness braised onions, and he tells me that you got to sell them for St. Patrick's Day. Well, why don't you sell them all year round? And if they're basically onion rings, then you can dip them in cheese, and that would probably be good because onion rings are good. But just say they're onion rings, not Guinness braised onions. Trying to get classy with that, and Scott, I would have addressed it a little bit more with you, but I was up against it. Scott, I am never challenged by what people's opinions are, but I may disagree with them. Here's what's going to happen with that lineup. Yeah, will Rhys Hoskins a DH sometimes? Sure he will. To put Sosa in at third and then Boehm at first, and there's going to be multiple lineups that you're going to have because they have multiple DHs. Castellanos is a DH. Schwarber's a DH. The only guy that's not a DH because you want him in there for his defense is Trey Turner, who's a good offensive player and defensive player. And you're going to have JT in as a DH once in a while so he doesn't have to catch 140 games. So it's going to be maneuvered around, but you need Hoskins in the lineup, and it's not going to be as a DH every day because you have multiple DHs that you're going to move around and try to get some defense in there against certain teams. So, Scott, hey, I love you, Scott, but the last thing I worry about is you having a different opinion than me. And you might not like John Smoltz, but I actually like John Smoltz. Now, when I'm at games, I don't hear him all the time, and he may overanalyze, but he knows the game. But there's some athletes on the air that just you'd think that they should know the game, and they don't know the game, and they're clueless. All right, so Scott, always would welcome your call, Scott, so don't even worry about it. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to John. John, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, Howard. Always love listening to you on Saturday mornings.
Thank you.
Put yourself in Howie Roseman's shoes. What would you do for the draft? What would you do for free agency? Would you try to sign Hargrave?
Here's the deal. All right, and I'm glad you brought it up because I was going to bring it up this hour. All right. Everybody, I shouldn't say it, there's a lot of people, when Jalen Hurts signed, it's going to screw up their cap. Here's the deal. He's got a year left. They're going to sign him. They will. I am not even worried 1/10 of 1% that they're going to sign Jalen Hurts. That's a given. Now, because he's got a year left, they'll do what Buffalo did with Josh Allen. Kansas City actually did it with Mahomes. You kind of back it up a year. You give him signing bonus money, which you spread out. And the major part of the contract won't happen until the following, not this season, the following season. But there's only so many players you can sign. I'd like to see Hargrove come back, but not at $20 million a year. I mean, that position gets $20 million a year. That's crazy. Here's what I think is going to happen. I'd like to see Bradbury back, but I don't know how you can keep both Bradbury and Slay. That's too much money for your corners. I want C.J. Gardner-Johnson back, and you're going to have to pay him for a safety. It's the going rate's like $14, $15 million a year. They may have to franchise him because I'm sure he's trying to kill it with this contract. I've been kind of told that Fletcher Cox is going to take a contract, which is not going to be what he wants, but there's nobody else out there that's going to give him a lot of money. So he might take a contract, let's say, I'm putting a number like $4 million a year just to be on the team because nobody else is going to pay him a lot of money. Brandon Graham, I think they're going to work that out with Brandon. He'll get money, they'll figure it out, and he'll be back. Now, after that, I don't know how many guys you can sign. I don't know how many guys you can sign.
How about for the draft?
But the Hurts contract, don't worry about Hurts. They'll figure that out. They're sharp enough to be able to figure that out. And it won't hurt them for this year. But it's unconscious. It's unbelievable how much quarterbacks get, and it screws up the salary cap for all teams. Hey, the Giants are going to get screwed up. They're going to give Daniel Jones ridiculous money for Daniel Jones, and it's going to kill him. It's going to kill him because he's just not good enough.
What do you think they'll do for the draft? And do you think are they happy with Jordan Davis? That nose tackle.
Yeah, I mean you got to give him another year. Remember, I go back use an example of Brandon Graham. Nobody liked him the first one or two years, so you got to give him time. He's obviously very talented. I think you got to go corner or somewhere on the defensive line if that's right. I wouldn't take even if I don't like Jalen Carter. These guys that get in trouble and the teams don't care. He could slip, but I don't think he'd slip down to 10. And he's very good. I don't want those kind of people, but they're around all the time. They're around all the time. I mean, look at Alabama. I think that's disgraceful. There's a guy that on the team right now, what's it, Davis, that brought the gun to the player that killed the woman, and he's okay because he's a really good player, and Alabama's right. A really good team. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. All right, who's the player that you can't stand on the air, athlete?
How about Keith Hernandez?
Yeah, I don't know that people get to see him enough, but I'll put you in the mix. How's that? I'll put you in the mix. All right. Okay. Hey, thanks for the call, Keith Hernandez. I actually like Keith, but that's another story because I knew him from the '86 Mets. But whatever. All right. I understand the inventor, or the creator, or the name caller of Guinness braised onions is on the line, and that would be Pete Cherokee. Pete.
Howard Eskin, how are you?
Me if they're onion rings, just tell me they're onion rings.
Let me just go through this for a second. I was working out. That's why I get right back to you. I'm down at Disney World where everything's fantasy, similar to what you talk about. Okay. Now, the new hamburger we have now, which is a limited time offer because we started it in March. It's called a patty, P-A-D-D-Y, like St. Patty's Day, patty milk. It's a hamburger with you, which you wouldn't eat because you don't eat meat.
I don't eat red meat, but I like it. I would take a bite of it and taste it for you. But that's
you should do that because you would go 2 hours on this. Now listen, it's Swiss and American on top of a burger, delicious burger, with sourdough sliced bread. Now the Guinness braised onions are onions caramelized. After they're caramelized, then they're braised, then they sit in, they get put into a saute pan and simmer a Guinness for 45 minutes. So the Guinness gets absorbed into the onion, and that's why you'll have a patty melt. You're, you know, going with the theme of St. Patrick's Day. We'll have it for 3 months probably, but I think that this is to be the most popular one we ever had. It will probably last forever. It'll probably be on the menu forever after that.
So is Guinness braised onions a thing, or is that a thing, or you just created that?
We created that. It's a flavor. So nobody's ever had them anywhere else before that I'm aware of, but they're not onion rings. They're sauteed onions, caramelized, then sauteed in Guinness for 45 minutes.
Well, you can put onion rings on that burger, too, because I've seen with Bobby Flay with his burgers, he puts onion...
Bobby Flay, what's that?
Okay. I know Bobby, so don't rip him.
Yeah, he's probably very proud of that, too. listen, this burger, Howard, it's worth stopping in and having, I know, one bite. This is the number one burger, the number one received online on social media that we've ever had, which I'm very proud of, and Johnny Horseman and my brother Tommy, who put it together. It's absolutely delicious.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to do, Pete. You know, I might even do it tonight or tomorrow because I'm near your place in Drexel Hill, that they have these burgers in Drexel Hill.
Of course, these patty melts, yes.
Oh, patty melts, all right. So in the next couple of days, I may go over, and just so I can taste the Guinness braised onions. That's what I want.
They're delicious. They're out of this world. They're another level. Fried onions works good on beef, as we know.
Right.
Now with the Guinness braised, I'll tell you what, when you try it, you should just go online and look at the picture of it. It is out of this world. It turned out much better than I ever thought.
Hey, you know what? I got an idea for you. While you're down in Disney World, Give Mickey a patty melt.
You'd probably like to do that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, you're already there. All right. All right, genius. Thanks for calling.
All right, Einstein. Talk to you.
Yeah, I'll see you later. So now we got the full story on Guinness braised onions. All right, let's go back to the phones. Who's up next? Is it John or Jeff or Matt? Who is it? Dan, who is it? Jeff, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Pretty good. I just wanted to talk a little Phillies and, like, Andrew Painter. to be a successful pitcher, especially in the major leagues, you really only have to throw two pitches for strikes. And this guy has already at least three or four, so I don't understand why they're trying to throw a fifth pitch for a strike, because, like, a slider puts a lot of strain on your elbow, and a cutter is kind of like a slider, so I don't understand why they're messing with him at such a young age. Can you elaborate on that?
I don't know who did what, but, you know, you actually make a good point. You don't need all those pitches. If you have control and good location on two or three pitches, you can be a good pitcher. See, everybody throws hard now. So, you know, people were impressed. Oh, he threw 96 to 99 or whatever the hell it was the other day.
Right.
That doesn't impress. Everybody throws hard, and the hitters eventually will adjust to the hard throwers. I mean, hitters are good too.
Yeah. So I mean, the only guy in, like, really Major League Baseball who relied on his cutter was Mariano Rivera. And, like, you know, this guy came up, like, he was dominant. Like, he people say he wasn't facing good hitters. Like, he was facing, like, top prospects. Like, when you're in Double A, those are all the top prospects. Mm-hmm. And he excelled in Triple A and, like, you know, the fall leagues and stuff. So I just wouldn't mess with the guy's stuff. You know, it could be a blessing in disguise, you know, that he doesn't come up and we'll be able to save him for the second half of the season. But, you know, I just don't think that Thompson and those guys should mess with the guy's arm when he's already been successful. Just kind of let him do his own thing.
There's probably other coaches that are doing it. And maybe they might just tell him not to experiment with that with another pitch anymore. Well, first of all, he's got to be healthy. So they got to get him healthy. And
right.
I'm sure they're going to shut him down for a little while.
And my last point on Painter is, you know, you don't want him pitching in cold weather to start out. Like, have him, like, chill out in clear water, warm weather, bring him up in – like, you know, June, and, you know, when, I don't know, but, yeah, my guy that I don't really like, this is kind of a little out of the box, because he's not really there yet, is Tom Brady. Like, I know I already don't, like,
but
I didn't like him as a player, and
yet.
I know I'm not going to like him as an analyst.
Well, yeah, but you don't know yet, but I don't know, because I don't know how he's going to, who knows whether he's ever going to do it? He's not working next year.
He'd be a fool if he doesn't do it. 10 years, $375 million. I mean, that's more money than he made when he was playing.
He doesn't need that. He doesn't want to have to work 4 days a week. I mean, come on. It's not the same.
Yeah, I get it. But anyway, man, it was good talking to you. Enjoy the Borgata. Yeah, take care, buddy.
Hey, say hello to the people in Bristol for me, will you? All right, let's go to Richard. Richard, you're on WIP. Okay, Matt, you're on WIP.
Morning, Howard.
Morning, how are you?
I just wanted to touch on the Sixers. As far as what Rivers is doing, how come he can't make the adjustment in the second half of these teams? You see what happened with Boston, Miami, and now again the other night. It's disgraceful.
Well, I don't think they have a good enough team defensively. When you have Maxey and Harden as your backcourt, you're not going to be good enough defensively. It's not a team that's a championship team. They're a good team, and they've got some good players, but you know, P.J. Tucker just doesn't score, and we can listen about his defense, and we heard that with Ben Simmons, and he's really good defensively, but you got to have somebody that at least has the threat of scoring. And their bench is just okay. It's not nothing. I don't know what they do. They're not a championship team. I don't know how else to say it. And they don't have a leader. Embiid is not a leader. He's a really good – we know how talented he is, and he's really good. But he doesn't play the game the way you need somebody 7'2 to play the game.
Can a coach come in and change him?
Well, no. What you have to do is you have to change the team, but that's not going to happen. They're not going to do that. You've got to, after this season, if they don't at least get to a championship, they should trade Embiid, but they're not going to do that. And you have limited years left with him because he's always hurt, or he says he's hurt, whatever the case may be. I just don't think you're going to win with this team, but Daryl Morey is just going to ride out his $12 million a year and ride it out with Embiid. You don't have to start over because you have some young players that you can build around, but you're going to have to do something, and you can't get rid of Tobias Harris because by trading away draft picks, as Daryl Morey did, you can't use a number one pick to trade Tobias Harris. That he doesn't fit. He just doesn't help this team win. He's just, he's not a fit. They're not fits here. They're just not fits. And I don't know how else to spell it out for you.
Okay. Last point, the Philadelphia Flyers, how didn't they move James Van Riemsdyk the other day? I mean, Fletcher.
Well, I listened to Chuck Fletcher. I'm going to explain this to you. They had a deal in place, but the other team, and he didn't say who the other team was, had to trade one of their other players, a forward. And if they made the trade, then Van Riemsdyk would have been traded, and they would have gotten a draft pick for him. And they would have taken a player with an expiring contract just to get the draft pick, but the other team never was able to make the trade to be able for them to make a trade with the Flyers. They had a deal worked out. They did have a deal worked out. So, I mean,
okay.
Chuck Fletcher is not done a good enough job, but the reality is he did have a deal worked out there. He did have a deal, and the other team just couldn't do it. He put him out there, but the other team just couldn't do it because they didn't make the other trade.
All right.
Do you have a player that you on the air that you just don't like?
Yeah, Alex Rodriguez. I can't listen to Sunday Night Baseball with him.
Wait, A-Rod is a good one. I like it. I like your choice of A-Rod. All right, Matt, I appreciate the call. Thanks, man. A-Rod is a good one. I can't stand him either. He's a phony. He's a fraud. He's a total phony. And it just lied about cheating. And it's just something about him. He's just a phony. And he comes off as a phony. I don't like A-Rod a little bit. That's a good one. 215-592-9494. Big date in history, which was this past week. We're going to get to that when we come back. We'll get back to your calls. The time now here on 94 WIP is 921.
Yeah.
Oh, a fine Saturday. A little chilly, but it's a fine Saturday. A lot of things to talk about. We even got down to the Guinness braised onions. I'm glad we got that straightened out. I'm glad we got, even Jack Fritz got involved in that, sent me a text. I get texts from all these people. It's just, it's crazy. It's crazy. But there was an important date this week, and there's an important date. People are going to love that I'm going to say this. An important date coming up. The site of this year's Super Bowl. What's it? Is it State Farm Stadium or whatever the hell it's called? In Phoenix or in Glendale. That stadium, the site of the Super Bowl, will be the site of Taylor Swift's first concert on tour, March 17th. That's an important date for a lot of people because all the Swifties will be there. She's there for, I think, 2 or 3 days. Oh, yeah, it's big. And then she's here in Philadelphia in May. So for all the Swifties, get ready. March 17th is a big date. Her first concert on tour is March 17th at the site of this year's Super Bowl. All right, let's go back to the phones, and we'll go to Chuck. Chuck, how are you this week? You got to improve from that D-minus call last week, right?
Yeah, but you have to grade on a curve, man. It could have been a C-minus, you know? Come on, give me a break. How you doing, buddy? All right?
You know me. I've never had a bad day.
Yeah, never bad. Yeah, okay. Listen, have you watched any spring baseball?
Yeah, I have.
True. Yeah.
But it's, I don't watch remarkable. The whole game. You can't watch the whole game. You can't watch
it. Well,
first of all, not all the games are on TV. I mean, I think they're on the game's on WIP today, and it'll be on, I guess it's on TV today, too.
But here's a great sign for the baseball rule and the impact on the game overall. All of us have had to flip channels watching baseball in the past. I mean, no doubt about it, and I've admitted that. But you're looking at games now, 17, 18, 19, 20 runs that are over before 2 hours and 30 minutes, which is really remarkable. There's games yesterday that were over 2 hours, 20 minutes, 17 runs, 21 hits. So even the games with a lot of offense were 2.5 hour affairs. And I got a question for you. You probably know this. You're the king, right? The time between innings in spring training games, I'm going to say, is identical to regular season. But can you confirm that?
Yes. Don't want to change. You know,
they can't. Okay, I'm with you. Yep.
Players are creatures of habit. Yeah, it's the same. It's
so
like
250.
I think it's like 215, something like that.
Yeah, okay, cool. So what you see is what we're going to get. Offensively, even better news, batting averages so far. And yes, they'll be higher in spring and in pitching. They'll come down. We get that. But 272 versus 259 last spring.
Let me just hold it, Chuck, before you start rolling out all your numbers.
Spring training
numbers are the most useless numbers. Home runs, average, the most useless numbers in sports. Because ever translates to the regular season because of the pitchers. The guys only go in one or two innings. And it's just nonsense to get all caught up in numbers. It's nonsense.
Well, I'll tell you, if you were better research, and I know you do not like to research much of what you say.
Yes, I do.
You would find out that there is a stark correlation between the spring training numbers averages and the dilution of that is almost identical each year between spring and
winter. I don't care about the numbers, Chuck. I don't care about batting averages.
I
look at Trey Turner, and Trey Turner's a good player, and he's going to hit. Okay, I'm on board with that, and there's no question. And Rhys Hoskins is going to hit home and just started playing. He's going to hit down in spring. Everybody hits home runs because the wind's blowing so hard. But it's just I don't care about numbers.
Well, I care whether I can
see a guy's a hitter or not a hitter.
All right? Let me ask you this: yes or no? This: do you care about the impact on the game that no shifts will now have? Yes or no?
I would.
Yes or no?
Change that rule. I would not have changed that rule.
But you're interested in the impact on the game, are you not?
Yes
or no?
No.
You're fumbling the
ball. Because there's so many other
just
things that I'm interested in. When Trey Turner leads off and leaves a bigger hole because there's a left-hander that's going to hit two, Schwarber, until Harper comes back, will hit two. I want to see how that – but that's just one facet of the game. There's so many facets of the game that when this Phillies team – you think I'm going to worry about the shift when I watch the Phillies?
Yeah, well, I want to show you the facet that you've griped about the most the last 5 years. And that is action, that runs. You've complained about a lack of action in baseball. True?
No, I've complained that the games have been too long, and that slows it down.
Okay, so now there's
the
more.
But the pitch clock changes that. All right, so we know that. All right.
Chuck, we're
talking about nonsense here. All right? You're talking about things that people don't care. They want to watch this team and see who hits, where they hit, and how the pitchers and how well the pitch. We know that Wheeler and Nola are going to be good. The Phillies fans hope that Suarez can back up his season last year and be good again this year. We now know that Painter probably won't start the season on the roster because they got to make sure that he's healthy. So those are the things. I'm not worried about the damn shift.
I think baseball fans are very interested in a shorter game. I disagree with that. Let's move on.
Well, yeah, but that's what the pitch clock does. We know that.
And
we
showed you the effect.
You're the master of the obvious, Chuck.
I was quantifying that impact. That's all I was doing. Now, listen, the part about Embiid and the minutes played.
Yep.
Can you elaborate on that? Because I don't see your point at all on that.
Well, when they're up by 20, you don't need to play 30-some minutes. And, Chuck, I appreciate the call.
But they're all the
same. You got to a D on this call. I got to move on. Elaborate on it. I've already stated it, chapter and verse. All right. We go from one nitwit to a dope, and that would be Arthur. Where the hell have you been?
Yo, first of all, you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. Hey, listen, I know you cheated on me. You called the afternoon show. You cheated on
me. Whoa, that's propaganda. I think they got your brother. They're sneaky.
Yes
guy.
Or no?
I said they got a fake guy that talks like me, and that guy's an idiot. It was just
right?
On the phone with all the numbers. This and that. It's preseason. Tell that idiot it don't count. Oh my God! Listen,
call the afternoon show? Yes or no?
I misremember. I can't remember what I had for breakfast. Oh, scotch. Okay. Listen, is Philadelphia off a suicide watch after that Eagles loss? Are they okay, all them Eagle fans?
Being a Giants fan, you have no room to talk, and I can't wait till they sign Daniel Jones and really screw up their team.
That's a waste of money. You just throw money in the street. They can give it to me. I could take it to the casino.
Well, that would be a waste of money, too, for you, because you lose all the time anyway.
Hey, what's the difference? I got a shot with $50 million. I got a shot, though.
Yeah, well, you do have a shot.
Yeah, listen, where did you get the last caller at?
He loves his computer, and he just lives on his computer, and he starts rolling out numbers. He's a number machine.
Numbers
he's
don't
a number
mean machine. Nothing. Oh, my God. Listen, it's done. Now, what about this kid, Pan? They're bragging about him. We can't pitch in the cold. What?
Wait a minute. I got more important questions. He's got some tenderness in his elbow, and they're going to check it out, and they'll probably shut him down for a while. It's all, you know, it's just they got to be careful. He's 19 years old. But I still think the Mets probably are a little better team. The Braves are probably a little better team. But the Yankees, I'm rooting for the Yankees in the American League. I like Aaron Boone. So we'll see what they do. And that's your team. I know that's the Yankees. But more importantly, how the hell have you stayed out of jail?
It's only been a month. Are you kidding me?
With you, it's not... It could be a week.
I'm doing good so far, but listen, I got a tip. I'm going to put the house up, find myself a new spot to live. The heat is too hot here.
A new spot, they're going to find you. Do you have an Arizona driver's license? Do you have an Arizona driver's license?
No.
Well, you know, you're breaking the law. You've been there. You've lived there too long.
I got no license. So what's the difference?
So when you get stopped, what does the popo do?
They tell me, pull over. We got to get somebody that can drive the car. I said, yo, I'll call my daughter. Take it easy.
Do they know you're on probation?
That's not a parole violation.
Oh, it's not. You are breaking the law.
It's okay. I tell them they don't get into all that. You know what I mean? It's a Mercedes-Benz. They're not getting into all that.
I can't believe you haven't gone back to the joint, but you'd probably like to go free room and board. You got your boyfriend's there. You got the whole thing.
You can't beat that. Free hot center cot. You can't beat it. You come in. I hate to tell you, I live the same lifestyle now. I sit at the pool all day. I tan with the dog. You know what I mean? Yo, how come you didn't get in touch with me where you didn't have no money?
When I was there, you were drinking. I don't drink.
What does that got to do? We could sit down and have a dinner today. I said, that's what you want.
Wait a minute. You should have gotten a hold of me. I was busy.
I did. Listen, don't you go there lying. Don't get yourself caught up. You guys just didn't want to be seen.
I wanted to get out of Arizona without being locked up with you.
Well, now, see, here's something I want to tell you about a good friend I got from the East Coast that came out. McCluskey. He's an awesome guy. Came out, invited me to an Eagles party in a millionaire's home. I was there with all them Eagles fans. You know, that's the kind of guy you should have been. So we went out to dinner together.
Who paid for the dinner? Who bought?
He treated me. He's an awesome guy. McCluskey Mechanical, Dave. He took me out to dinner.
Listen, the fact that he treated you, I am going to send you my link for the Eagles Autism Challenge so you can make a donation because you didn't pay for dinner. Probably making money on the street again.
You know how hard it is to get back money that I've been out so long. Huh? Do you know what it's like?
Are you going to make a donation or not?
I'll see what I can do. Right now I'm struggling. I just got out. I'm a month out of the joint. You want me to get some money together? Once I get my money together, I'll help you out.
Well, wait a minute. You're going to the casino. What money is that? Rather than lose it there, make it useful and donate to the Eagles Autism Challenge.
Casino tonight, I dropped. You know what I mean? I didn't get killed tonight. I did okay. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, the fact that you haven't gone back to jail is an accomplishment. I am impressed.
Now, let me say, but everything's all right with you, right? You know what I mean? When the Eagles lost, you can't get out of the Super Bowl. You know you're a football
Nobody likes the loss, but they got to the Super Bowl. They made too many mistakes, and that's part of it. They're going to try to get back there. But I can tell you this, they're going to be better than the New York Giants for years.
But listen to me. It doesn't matter if you're better. If you don't get the rings, you're just a loser like the Giants. So what's the difference? You know what? The sense, though, what's the sense of getting to the game and then you lose anyway?
Hey, give me your location in Arizona so I can get in touch with the Popo and have him track you down.
Easy there, easy there. Now, let me tell you, the most hated guy in the world that I got to go with is LeBron James. And I was wrong about him, and you were right. That guy hates America. I say LeBron James is the most hated guy.
Well, I'm talking about guys on the air, but you're right. He, by people on social media, he is the most despised guy on social media. It's not LeBron James. It's LaFraud James. Just remember.
Oh, my God. This guy's worried about China because he don't want to. And let me tell you something. The NBA is no good either.
You know, he always gets involved in everything, and it's just, I'm done. People should be done with him. And he's not the best ever. It's Michael Jordan. It's Wilt Chamberlain. We can go right down the list of guys that are better than him all time. Larry Bird, Kobe Bryant. I mean, I'm not even done yet.
Damn, you're rattling them off. Yo, you're fired up. I got you fired up, don't I, brother?
Yeah, well, just stay out of the joint and you know, even though it's early out there now, we're back. I guess it's going to be 3 hours next week.
Correct.
Boy, it's really going to be hard for you to call in the morning. All right.
Listen to me. Before we say goodbye, I'm going to spring training game. I'm going to go see the Angels. I'm going to see if I get a picture with Trout.
I know Trout, but I'm not going to have a picture with you because it's a guilt by association.
You know what? Listen to me. That's why my man McCluskey, this guy loves me. He comes see me.
You can have him donate to the Eagles Autism Foundation. I'll send you the link.
And I'll look it up. Yo, brother.
You could be my fundraiser. How's that?
You ain't going to get no money with me as a fundraiser.
Well, you got plenty of it. You'd spend it in the casino.
Oh, my God. Didn't I tell you I just got out? It's 30 days. That's a violation.
All right. Hey, nitwit, dope and what? Moron. Stay out of the joint. I'll talk to you later.
Yo, listen, and tell that station that boy, after you guys to stop making up propaganda about me. You got some guy making like it's me.
Oh, yeah. Stop it. Stop
yes.
it. Nobody can
Check
be that.
Nobody
is
you.
As criminal as you are. All right, beat it. Beat it. Get out of here. We'll be right back. The date this week that is big, and I just mentioned his name, and we'll be right back. The time now is 9:41.
Like we always do with this time, I go for mine. I get the shine. Now throw your hands up in the sky. Go for mine. I get the shine.
WIP. Nice Saturday morning, chilly, but at least there is no rain. We're going to try to get some more qualifiers for our contest to win the $100 gift certificate to DeBruno Brothers. Check them out at DeBruno.com or DeBrunoCatering.com. They do both very well. There's 7 retail locations. The food is sensational, whether it's parties, for business, for pleasure, whatever, or just getting some good food. It's the Bruno Brothers, the $100 gift certificate up for grabs. The athlete on the air that you dislike the most, and there's some good ones so far, and we'll get some more before we close out the show today. Let's go to the phones, and Steve, you're on WIP.
Yeah, how you doing? I was wondering what you think about Derek Hall, because I thought Derek Hall last year did a really nice job coming up. And as far as Full the other day was on Jody McDonald's show. I guess he's an assistant GM, was saying that
he's
this guy's
GM
actually a really pretty
Dave
good
Dombrowski's
fielder.
Actually
and
the vice president of baseball operations, so okay. He's technically the GM, right?
Yeah, and they said, you know, he was talking about him. He said, you know, the way he came up last year when Bryce Harper went down and really contributed to helping our offense stay afloat. And, you know, we didn't go down when Bryce was out. We actually moved up a little bit in the standings. And this guy was an integral part of it, coming up and hitting like 12 home runs in basically a third of the season. And he's a first baseman. And they say he's a pretty good fielder. I mean, what do you think about him getting some extra bats this year? Because I really think he could help this team with Bryce out the first half of the year.
I think my lineup that I gave Rob Thompson, I have Derek Hall. He's hitting fourth in my lineup as the DH.
Oh, I like it. I like that.
Well,
I do.
Because I have Turner, Schwarber, Hoskins, and I could move JT into there. Then at four, I have Derek Hall, assuming it's a right-handed pitcher on opening day. Derek Hall, and then JT or Hoskins there. So, but he's the, against right-handed pitching, he's the DH. You know, they'll change during the season because they're going to roll around other guys, but you don't have Harper, so it's one less player that, and I assume he's going to be the DH when he comes back, but that's not until the All-Star break.
The one thing I liked about him last year is he actually hits the opposite way too.
Well, but the thing is, he asked me about defense. I think they're okay with him defensively, but I don't think he's, I would call him a good defensive player, because if he was, he'd probably be in the major leagues sooner rather than now. But he can hit. It looks like he can hit. So he's my DH a good number of the times. Yes. Yep.
Good. I'm glad, because I think he's, you know, he could be an up and comer. He could be a reason why we make a trade at the deadline. Maybe, you know, I mean, if we're, you know, we need something really bad, and we got, you know, Reese Hoskins is a good player. I mean, I would not be objected to moving him. He's the last year of his contract too.
Yeah. Well, it's the last year. I think you're going to miss those 30 home runs in the lineup, but we'll see how it, you know, we'll see how it all plays out. And I don't like Reese Hoskins' agent, and I think that could create an issue because he always wants too much money.
He's the worst.
Scott Boras. I don't like him a little bit. Hey, Steve, you're in Egg Harbor Township, so you must be near a Chickies and Pete's down there, right?
I go there all the time, buddy. It's like two – I could actually walk there from my house.
Those patty melts. I mean, Pete told me about those patty melts with the Guinness.
I actually like the salmon Caesar salad. This Caesar salad is really, really good.
Oh, okay. All right. So who's your the athlete on the air that you just
– I don't know if he was mentioned yet because I got on late, but the king of nepotism, Chris Sims.
Okay, I'll put him down, but he was not mentioned. All right, Steve. I don't know that would win, but you dislike him, and I can understand why here in Philadelphia. All right, thanks for the call. Let's go to Sean. Sean, you're on WIP.
Good morning, Howard. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I don't want to go into beating a dead horse territory, but since you brought it up earlier, I just wanted to talk about the turf on the Super Bowl.
Okay. Now, before you get into it, you're going to complain about it, right?
Well, I just want to say something, because since the Sod Father came out, because everybody thought it was the Sod Father at first, then he came out and threw the other guy under the bus, whatever that guy was, manager or something.
Here's what I'm going to tell you about that. They changed – the field was terrible. The Eagles played there early in the season. It's a sand-based, because it's in the desert. Next year is going to be a problem in Las Vegas too. So they brought in a new field, a dirt field. They kept it indoors for about 4 days. Now, the Eagles had a ground screw guy was in on all those situations out there. So you can't just blame somebody. They brought it inside to harden it up. All right, they hardened it up, and the league felt that they hardened it up too much. So then they watered it. And then they had things on the field beforehand. And in pregame, it looked fine. The guys weren't slipping. But here's the issue that people complain about, and the Kansas City guy. Kansas City wore the proper spikes for the game. The Eagles equipment guys always bring multiple size spikes. And a lot of the Eagles – let me finish.
Okay.
Eagles guys wouldn't change their spikes, and that was part of the problem, you know, because they didn't want the longer spikes and afraid that they'd get caught or maybe get hurt. You got to do what you got to do. So part of it was the field, but you didn't lose because of that, all right? So just understand that.
Well, that's crazy, because, like, don't they do what the coach tells them? Can't the coach tell them what to put on the bigger spikes?
Coach doesn't. No, the coach can't tell them whether to change their spikes or not. Yeah, but they got to know that, and they got to know that. On the air.
I don't know. There's too many to mention, I guess.
All right.
Well, they're all overpaid.
All right. No problem. I appreciate the call.
I guess it's Tony Romo then.
Tony Romo was mentioned, but I appreciate it. All right. Cowboy Jim, you'll be the final caller there, genius.
Good morning, Pale King of Philadelphia. How are you? I know it's a great day.
Yeah.
Oh, all these sad faces. No one wearing Eagle jerseys anymore. What a great day.
Well, here's the thing and I got to compliment the Cowboys, because now with Mike McCarthy being the play caller and wanting to run the football more, it assures everybody in that division that the Cowboys will not move forward.
Howard, okay. All right, great. All right. I'll just answer this for me. How do you measure a team's success? Wins and losses, championships? How do you measure a team's success?
Well, wins and losses.
Okay, so in the end of the day, when Jerry Jones and Jeffrey Lurie are gone, they're no longer the owner of the Cowboys, how will history look back? They'll look back and go, oh, wow, the Cowboys were very successful. Oh, the Eagles have one win Super Bowl.
Here's what they're going to look at. The Cowboys have won, one playoff game in 10 years?
About when you look back in history.
No, I'm not. But history.
When you look back,
history is for
Don
losers.
Shula.
History
Don
is
Shula.
For losers.
Okay, is Don Shula successful?
Because you can't just go back and say, "Well, the Cowboys have 5 Super Bowls." You got to dust off those trophies.
Oh, come
on! It's so long.
In the end of the day, are you going to?
Can't you ever come up with anything better or new?
Who's more successful, Jerry Jones or Jeffrey Lurie? Right now, who is more successful?
In the last 5 years, Jeffrey Lurie.
It doesn't matter. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about
the last... But we can't go back 100 years.
Jim,
your call is tired, it's old, and it's boring. Beat it. It's that simple. You can't go back 20 years. It's ridiculous. That's what Cowboys fans do. They're such losers. What a waste of time. All right. Dan Wilson doing a bang up job back at the studio. All right. So I'm going to put this on you. The athlete on the air that you dislike the most. And we've kind of agreed on this, but go ahead. Who is it?
Yeah, so there were multiple good answers here today, but I think my favorite, it's courtesy of Matt. A-Rod just has an incredibly fake personality. Nothing he does appears to be genuine. So A-Rod is the winner today, so congratulations to Matt.
A-Roid is the name.
A-Roid, right.
A-Roid, who is a phony. Even his numbers have to... Now, he was obviously a talented player, but all his numbers have to be phony because... He probably was on steroids for so many years of his career that his numbers are even funny. He is a phony. You are correct. That's a good one. My second would have been Rex Ryan. He is so useless on ESPN. He's so boring. He's so useless. He's so tired. And ESPN has so many bad people on the air. And A-Roid, I guess, is one of them because he does work for ESPN, right, with the baseball? It's another loser on ESPN. Unbelievable. Hey, Matt, congratulations. You win the $100 gift certificate for DeBruno Brothers. You will enjoy it. The food is great. 7 locations. Check them all out at DeBruno.com or DeBrunoCatering.com if you want to cater a party. Glenn Macnow and Mike Sielski are next. Everybody have a great weekend. And just relax. I know Tuesday is when teams have to franchise players. And don't worry about the Jalen Hurts contract. Everything's going to be just fine. It's going to be fine. Relax. WIP, and thanks to Dan Wilson and the callers. It is a fine Saturday. The time now is 9:55.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.